the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
My name's John Hancock, and I'm the Youth Work Leader here at Belmont Chapel. I'm excited to wish you a Happy New Year. This morning, I've been asked to talk on 1 Peter 2, verse 9. So let's start by reading it. I'm actually going to read from verse 1 up to verse 10, if you're reading along. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So here we are in 2021. Usually this is the talk where we think about New Year's resolutions, making plans to change things for the better. I wonder if you've already thought about what your changes might be. Maybe you're thinking of starting something new. Maybe you're aiming to quit something. Perhaps you've got plans to do something you've never done before. Or maybe something you couldn't do last year. I'm keen to get back to Slim John and lose the lockdown stone that I'm carrying. I think this year, more than most, we might be falling into the habit of New Year's resolutions because, let's face it, last year was a toughie for a lot of reasons. When we have to have a whole year where we miss out on a lot, then our instinct is probably to look forward with hope and excitement. Now, if we're not careful, we can fall into a trap, I think, of spending all our time missing things or wishing for new and different things and missing what we already have in front of us. The danger there is that just because we've added a number on the year, sadly, it doesn't necessarily mean things are going to change. And even if they do, it almost certainly won't be at the pace that we wanted them to. Briefly then, let's think about what we have missed out on so that we can put that to one side, get on with the good stuff. We've had a year without the community of friends and families. For many of us, it's been a year of financial uncertainty and insecurity. We might have been unfortunate enough to have lost someone close to us. As a church, we've missed out on each other's company. We've missed out on communal worship. We've missed out on being able to serve the Lord through the church. We've been limited in how we can pray with each other and in how we can share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. When you look at the last year, it's very easy to wish for a return to normal so that we can get on with life again. My favourite verse in the Bible is John 10:10, but this, it doesn't feel like life to the full. But what does the Bible say? Well, Peter's pretty clear in our reading today that this doesn't actually really matter. In fact, he points out that when we're distracted by the things of this world, we can very easily stumble over a very important stone. You see, as much as we long for what's gone and look to what might be, the really important thing is there in verse 9. It's not what we want to be, it's who we are because of Jesus. Because I suspect that a lot of us are feeling the same way that I am, disconnected from church and from our usual way of Christian life, and that leaves us feeling disconnected from God. So instead, let's start this year focusing on what this verse says about us now. One, we are a chosen people. It might feel like we're in the ditch together. So let's not forget that each one of us is part of God's chosen people. This wasn't an accident of birth or geography, but our relationship with Jesus and our eternal salvation is a direct consequence of him choosing to love us and us choosing to follow him. Two, we are a royal priesthood. I know at the moment we're limited in what we can do, And for many of us, those acts of service might be the main way that we worship and draw close to the knowing the love of Jesus. Not being able to do those things might leave us questioning, well, how can we be a priesthood? But our status as a royal priesthood remains. We're still united under the royal high priest Jesus to serve the kingdom and establish his rule. As priests, that means that we have special access to God. And it's important that we don't forget this. Things are different, but our access to God never changes, thanks to Jesus, the high priest that we serve under. 3, we are a holy nation. And one of the most divisive things during 2020 was the issue of nationalism, both here and abroad. I don't know what your politics may be, and frankly, it doesn't matter, because Peter says that we're drawn together to be a holy nation. Holy here means separate, different, pure. And just like Israel was intended to be a beacon to other nations, it falls on us as the church to be a beacon to those groups of people who don't know Jesus. Now, I'd argue that the mess that the world is in at the moment is actually the biggest opportunity that's occurred during my lifetime for the church to be pointing something different to others, for the church to be exhibiting lives that echo verse 1 of our chapter today, where we rid ourselves of sinful behaviours, not because we want to appear self-righteous, but because we're pointing other people to the only person that ever changed things, Jesus. Number 4, we are God's special possession. What an incredible sentence to hear. The Almighty God, Alpha and Omega, who created everything that is and was and will be, considers us to be his special possession? Wow. You might be feeling that 2020 and beyond has robbed you of some of your uniqueness in how it's limited your life and what you can do. But God rejects that and says that you are special to him and you are his. I know when I think of my special possessions, they're things I'm protective over and careful with, but they're also things I'm quite happy to share with others and show off about. And that's not just some touchy-feely 21st century faux evangelical sentiment. We belong to God, and as such, we should remember that we live our lives, yes, dependent on his mercy, his grace, and his justice, but yes, also free from slavery to ourselves, to our culture, to the forces of darkness that work against us. We are God's special possession, highly valued, proudly displayed, and fiercely protected. 5, we have been called into a wonderful light. I think this might be the hardest part of the verse to hold on to, but it's so true. We are in times that literally and metaphorically feel dark and dismal, but we're not meant to be dragged into the consuming darkness of despair and sin. We've been called into a wonderful light. It's important to note, called, not dragged. There needs to be a step forward from us, but the way forward is good and full of hope because of who we follow. Jesus. So I finish with this. These great truths, they all have one thing in common. They're statements in plural. We. I shouldn't say that many times. I'm sure that more than ever, most of us feel disconnected from each other and from the church. But can I encourage you this year to have this verse displayed prominently somewhere in your day-to-day life? Because I think that knowing that we are not alone and scattered, but that we have unity as a church, led by Jesus in building his kingdom, that changes a lot of this year. If you are thinking of making a New Year's resolution, share it with a Christian friend and use the unity that gives us to help make 2021 a year for you and for God. I earnestly pray that this year will be one where we can live lives which glorify God, where we grow by his spirit in us, and where we're brought closer to the constant love and grace of Jesus.